The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Have you ever been to a lighthouse to visit? Maybe St. Augustine, they had a feast site there the last couple of years, and it's beautiful. I visited that lighthouse and seen some other ones too. The purpose of a lighthouse is to project, create light outward, from the shorelines out to the waters. Lighthouses warn ships of approaching reefs and rocks and the shorelines. Lighthouses guide ships into harbors. See, lighthouses have been instrumental in efforts to reduce hazards of seafaring days since the 1700s. Lighthouse to project light to save lives and property. Take it from E. Howe on the internet. The lighthouse was created back in the 1700s and was a welcoming focal point for those who needed assistance and light to carry them back to the shores safely. Genesis 1, verse 3 through 4 says, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light, and God saw that the light was good." God created the light. How awesome is that? Light from the lighthouse are good also, but just not as awesome as God. Jesus Christ projects, illuminates godly light through his life's examples of walking in the way of God's holy day plan, in total obedience to God the Father forever, obeying his laws. And see, these are light unto our feet and our very lives, living by every word of God, holding on to God's light. Walking in God's light keeps us away from the darkness and the dangers of this world. Are we stained by the world's beautiful light display found in December? Just what does this whole time of the year picture? Where is the truth of God's light projected or found in Christmas? In Christmas lights? In Christmas carols? What do they contain? Falsehood and lies, like we read in Isaiah 31. If you'll turn to Isaiah 30, verse 1. See, when I had my kids and they were growing up, they're 6, 7, we'd go to Walmart and they'd ask, "Is Santa bringing you any gifts?" And they'd say, "No, there is no Santa." And they'd blush because they know that it was a lie. You know, Santa Claus doesn't bring toys down chimneys, does he? Santa Claus doesn't live in the North Pole with his elves, but they're teaching their kids falsehood and lies in today in mainstream society. Reindeers flying in the sky with Santa Claus. Isaiah 30, verse 1, it says, "Woe to the obstinate child, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine." Verse 8, "Go now, write it on a tablet for them, inscribe it on a scroll, that for the days to come it may be an everlasting witness." Verse 9, "These are rebellious people, deceitful children, children unwilling to listen to the words of the Lord's instruction." Last part of verse 10, "Give us no more visions of what is right." Don't give us any more of those visions of what is right. Verse 11, "Leave this way, get off this path, and stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel." See, some people are stiff-necked people, unwilling to follow God's way of life, in God's light in life. In Philippians 4:8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." True things, all that is in harmony with the truth. Jesus Christ's spiritual light enlightens our very lives with truth. His good deeds and obedience glorifies our Father in heaven. And so can we, if we choose the right light to live by, living by every word from God. In Matthew 5:16, it says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. But it has to be in the right light to glorify our Father in heaven. It can't be filled with falsehood and lies and deceit, because that's unacceptable to God. If you'll turn to Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah 7. Verse 23, it says, "But this is what I commanded him, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. And you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you." This is the right light, following and obeying God. See, Christmas is a pagan custom, not commanded by God. You know, you might not think this is important, but my uncle was in the church for 25 years, and he drifted away, and he went back to Christmas and all these pagan customs. So Christmas is a false light, not of God's sovereignty. Light, a source of daylight, a lighthouse, a beacon of light, spiritual illumination, inner light, enlightenment, light, truth, light to shine by. Christmas fails at enlightenment of any real truth from God. Christmas is not a source of godly light. Are we willing to go where Jesus Christ takes us, the light from God, to obey God in His Spirit and in His truth? Are we just willing to live in a fantasy world of colored lights and false stories and make-believe? Are we living in a fantasy world out there on the internet in a phone hookup? See, Jesus Christ projects spiritual light to us for our lives by the way He lives and lived unto His Father in life. See, the unfolding of God's Word found in the Bible gives us true direction in life, gives us true light, true understanding, and true hope that is coming for us in the future. See, Jesus Christ will be blazing with glory of light as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But we need to obey our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119, with all those verses in that chapter, remember, was 175 or whatever. Turn the page, Psalm 119, 130. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple, so that even I can understand it. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. God's word gives us light to live by. In the New International Version, if we turn to John 3:19, it says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world," talking about Jesus Christ, "but men love darkness instead of light." Why? Why do men like darkness instead of light? Because their deeds were evil. They're different from God's way of life. They were living opposite of God's way of life. Verse 20, "Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed." Christmas is overexposed by the world with no true meaning, no true light, not coming from the Bible. It's an ungodly worship to God. Celebrating this holiday is not a holy day of light unto God. You turn back to Psalms 56. It says, "For you have delivered from me death, and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life." Do we want to actually walk before God in the light of the truth in our life? Then we need to learn what God's truths are. We need to learn what is false. Psalms 97, verse 11. It says, "Light shines on the righteous, and joy on the upright in heart." We will have an upright heart, and God's light shines on His righteous people for those who obey God fully. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Does most of the world think that Jesus Christ was kidding? That he's not the way or the truth or the life by the way they live? See, Jesus Christ is the light of the New Testament church. See, he gave his life, he gave his blood for a fake Santa Claus? I don't think so. When we put up a mirror of Jesus Christ's life, his teaching, his light of how to live a righteous life unto God, do they match with Jesus Christ in our own lives? As we read the four Gospels of how Jesus Christ told us to live, does our lives match up with Jesus Christ? And if they do, then we are in the right way. Because Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Are we walking in the light? See, Jesus Christ was using high beams. You ever use high beams in your car? This is Jesus Christ blazing with life, using high beams to show us the way to walk. Showing us the light from God the Father and how we are supposed to obey God. Do we have our high beams in life on? Are we following Jesus Christ no matter how hard it might be? When we go outside our house, when it's dark, what do? We turn on the floodlights so that we can see, so we can comprehend the darkness. If you'll turn to John 3. John 3, verse 20, it says, "Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed." See, pagan customs and most of man-made holidays are exposed by God because there is no light in them. Verse 21, "But whoever lives by the truth, they come into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God." Living by God's truth, living in the light, go hand in hand with God. See, truth and light match. Living by God's truth, living in the light, they match. When walking and obeying God's truth and God's laws, they match. Are we walking in darkness in life? Is there any part of us that walks in darkness? Have we ever thought about how we live our lives today with God? I know most of us go through Passover and we have to think about this, but what about the people on the internet and the phone hookup? Have you ever really thought about how you live your lives with God? You'll turn to John 8. John 8, verse 12. "Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me, he shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life of Jesus Christ." Jesus was the disciples' lighthouse of light. He was the beacon of light in life for them to follow, leading them, showing them, so that they would know and where and how to follow in his steps after he died. How to make it into the coming kingdom of God that is coming to this earth. See, Jesus Christ already showed the disciples, and they put it down in writing so that we could follow in Jesus Christ's footsteps. In John 21, if you'll turn to John 21. See, the disciples had followed Jesus Christ while he was here on this earth. But now, after being resurrected, he appears to the disciples again. See, Jesus Christ was passing on the light from God for life and how we are to follow him. After Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, the disciples still kept the Sabbath day holy. Imagine that. They still kept all of God's holy days holy. They still kept Jesus Christ's light, the way of life, of how to live unto God, to the coming kingdom of God. They even died. All the disciples died keeping the holy days and the Sabbath day. living in truth and with God's Spirit. See, Jesus Christ's life's examples taught them how to live and how to die properly unto God by obeying God. Before I read, I want to just reference Matthew 16, verse 15. Peter was always there, right there in the middle of things with Jesus Christ, wasn't he? He was always right there. But what about you, Christ asks? Who do you say I am? Peter, he's always speaking up, isn't he? Verse 16, Matthew 16, 16, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 14, 29, Peter walks on water with Jesus Christ. Nobody else would get out of the boat. They were smart, but here Peter is out on the water with Jesus Christ. Verse 30 in Matthew 14, when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid and he began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me!" Peter took his eyes off Jesus Christ. Took his eyes off his lighthouse, his beacon of light, his hope, Jesus Christ, only for a few seconds. Then those who were in the boat worshiped Jesus Christ, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God," because he calmed the wind and he walked on water. Peter denies Jesus Christ three times. In John 21, verse 1, it says, "Afterward, Jesus appeared unto the to the disciples by the Sea of Galilee." Verse 14, this was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So we got Peter denying Jesus Christ three times. We have Jesus Christ appearing the third time to the disciples. And then he made Peter say, "Do you love me?" three times. I think there's a great significance to this chapter and to Peter and Jesus Christ, the way he lifted up Peter to see if Peter would love him and follow him no matter what. John 21, verse 15, "And when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said, 'you know that I love you.'" See, he wanted Peter to be the light to the world for him, to lead all of his sheep and all of his lambs to the light, to be a light for Jesus Christ. But he wanted to be sure that Peter was in it. Again, Jesus said in verse 16, "Simon Peter, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Follow my light. Lead my sheep in the light. Stand firm, stand fast. Are you willing to do that?" And the third time he said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Jesus said, "Feed my sheep," because he said for the third time, "You know all things. You know I love you. Be a light to the church. Even unto death, follow my light." Because he says in verse 19, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me," to be a light to the church. As Jesus Christ was. He wanted to be sure that Peter loved him because Peter denied him three times. And Christ was just checking three times if he loved him, if he would follow him. He wanted to be sure that he was going to be a light to the church as Jesus Christ is the light to the church. Peter was to follow Jesus Christ's life for the rest of his life by living and dying for Jesus Christ, for his truth, for his Sabbath day and holy days. See, Jesus Christ was a bright light for all the disciples and all the followers that followed them and that will follow them into the kingdom. See, Peter followed the light, not the darkness, to the very end of his life. What an awesome opportunity Peter had, and all the apostles and all the disciples had, to be lighthouses, beacons of light to God's church in their lifetime. We also have an awesome opportunity to be lights to the world and to God's church and God's people now by being lights to the world, by following Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth, by having a pure heart, by putting our high beams of light on to teach His truth, His light, His ways in the coming kingdom of God by practicing now. As we pray, and as we practice, and as we love God, and as we worship God, through every trial that we have, we can be a light to one another, as Jesus Christ was a light to Peter and to all of His disciples. Because Peter was not the only one that denied Jesus Christ. They all said, "I will never forsake you." Never. They all did. They all ran. But they all died for Jesus Christ because they saw who Jesus Christ was when He was resurrected. He was our light. In Matthew 17:2, there He was transfigured, Jesus Christ, before Peter, James, and James's brother John. His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became as white as the light. Jesus Christ showing the disciples what it means to be changed into His light in a twinkling of an eye in His glorified spiritual state, why He was still a man in flesh. See, Jesus Christ is our beacon. Jesus Christ is our light and life for us. You turn to Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51 verse 4, it says, "Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. Instruction will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. Instruction, light, will go out from the Holy One, God, to us, for all His people, to hear, to give a chance to hear, to listen, and to follow." We have choices in life. Who we choose to worship. What light are we going to turn on? If you turn to Jude, there's only one chapter. Verse 17. See, Jude, an inspired apostle here, tells us, "Preaching is not designed to teach us something new in every sermon, but to put us in remembrance, to call to mind things forgotten maybe, to stir us up to action, to help us to remain faithful, to stay in faithfulness in His light, persevering in truth and holiness unto God, building up ourselves and in your most holy faith, and helping others in meekness, godly guidance, drawing closer to God's light." That is our mission. Staying in God's light in our lifetime. Because sometimes we let the light flicker out. Jude 1, verse 17. "But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, 'In the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires.' These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life." See, both revelations in the book of John strongly contrast truth and falsehood, light and darkness. Those who have eyes to see but do not see, they walk in darkness. Those who have eyes to see will walk with God in His light by His truth. In Revelations 21, verse 22, we'll go over to Revelations as I wind down here. Talking about the light of God's new kingdom, the new Jerusalem. Verse 22, "And I saw no temple there, and for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Go over to one chapter, chapter 22 in Revelations, chapter 22. Jesus Christ testifying to the churches. Verse 12, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city, enter into the new Jerusalem, the coming kingdom of God, because we obey his truths. We follow his light. We follow his steps, his path. Revelations 22, verse 4, it says, they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Verse 5, there shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun. Why? Why don't they need a light in the kingdom? For the Lord God gives them light, his glory. That's what we're living for, the glory of Jesus Christ, his light that is coming. And they shall reign forever and ever. Are we stained by the world's light? Are we led by the world's light, the world's traditions and teachings? See, when we're stained by Jesus Christ's shed blood, when we're led by his light, his truth, the light of his life, the light of Jesus Christ will always be available to us forever in his kingdom that is coming here soon.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.